Good evening, everyone. My name is Michael. I am an alcoholic. I tell you right from the start, lower your expectations, and this will be great. I have a sponsor. I sponsor others. And I have a home group, Midday Matinee, Yana. And let's see. I originally got sober in 89, Turning Point, when it was only $1,200 a month. This inflation has just gone sky high. The cost of recovery can be very expensive. And I got here in 89. I should have got here a lot sooner. Grateful to Turning Point for connecting me with AA. Let's see, reminder what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. I grew up in New York, in Washington Heights, right near the George Washington Bridge. And there were seven of us, mother, father, two older sisters, two younger brothers. And 186th Street and Amsterdam Avenue. It's amazing how I could still remember the building. And next to Yeshiva University, which was interesting. And we had a small two-bedroom apartment, fairly poor. Father worked a lot. Mother broke her ass trying to take care of the five of us. Father was fantastic. When he was around, he worked a lot, but when he was around, he was fantastic. And when I was 10, normal kid, was in Catholic school at the time, playing. I came home and they wouldn't let me in the house, and it was my 10th birthday. And I thought they were having a party for me, a surprise party. The fact was, my father was inside the house dead, and it was on my birthday. And that sucked. You know, from that point on, I was angry, full of fear, hated God. Couldn't talk to me about God. Did not want to hear it. I started getting in trouble immediately. I guess 10-year-olds are extremely self-centered, and I think they probably should be when they're 10, but when you reach 37, you know, you should be a little out of it by then. And that didn't happen with me. I stayed that way for many years and still can be. I immediately started getting ripped. Immediately, did not want to feel. Only wanted to feel good. It's the only thing I wanted to feel, was to feel good. It didn't matter what it was. I don't speak for AA. It's just my own personal experience, my own opinion. Alcohol to me is a drug. I kind of laugh about the fact that the people from NA put down the people from AA, and the people from AA put down the people from NA. You know, it's kind of hilarious the way we just can't get it together. To me, I do both, so I don't give a shit. But I can remember coming in here, and the guy making a statement. It wasn't him, it was to somebody else, and he said, "You look too young for Alcoholics Anonymous." He said to him something like, "I think I spilt more booze than you drank." And the kid snapped back and said, "If you didn't spill so much, you might have got here sooner." And I thought that was really well put. And I really did. I thought that was well put. Because I could have got here a whole lot sooner, had I even known. Denial stuck with me for a long time. A long time. I did not want to face myself or anybody else. I immediately started getting in trouble. Mother started drinking right after my father died. She started, and there was never any booze in our house until my father died, and she started drinking heavy. She did not stop until she was dead. She was dead a few years later as a result of alcoholism. Here I am, I got an older sister who's now my legal guardian. At the time, I'm about 15, 16. And I'm hustling every day in the streets, not going to school. I barely remember 7th and 8th grade. I mean, it was a blur. It still is a blur. Half of it may not even be true. You know, it's just what I believe to be true. I used to hustle every day, and I was getting to the point where I was getting picked up for loitering with the intent. I hadn't even done anything yet, and it got bad. So I'm 16, they take me to the Tombs, downtown New York. I still remember that address too, 100 Center Street, underground prison in New York. And I was scared to death, and I'll never forget. They put me in a bullpen with about 30 dudes. And when I'm scared, I just fight, man. I immediately fight because I'm scared. Because I'm not going to let you know I'm scared. Because when anybody was ever scared, we always took advantage of them, you know. So I was afraid that would happen to me. I was glad they had night court. You know, you got out quickly in New York. You didn't have to wait there too long. My sister would come pick me up, and immediately out, I'm going to get ripped. Immediately, that's my plan. But I want to no longer get in trouble, so I got to figure a way how to do this without getting caught, because I'm not stopping. That was furthest thing from my mind. So how am I going to do it differently? They actually tried to get me on Dorphine and Thorazine when I was about 15 to settle my ass down, and that didn't help. And there was a program, a Rockefeller program called Methadone Maintenance. So I thought that was a good way to stay out of trouble. So I got on that, and it was free. I didn't have to steal every day. That for me, that was good. I could get ripped every day without it costing too much money or too many problems. So I stayed on that shit for 17 years, from the age of 18 to 35. And that was no fun coming off, I tell you. That was hell. That was hell. I got married when I was about 18. I met a girl in a bar. I liked what she had and was willing to go to any length to get it. Man, why don't I do that with other things? It's just amazing. So she lived in Jersey. To me, Jersey was like the country compared to the streets of New York. It was beautiful, I thought, in Jersey. She had a beautiful home, mother, father, 5 kids. Everything was normal there. And that's what I wanted. And moved into the basement. It wasn't long. Moved right in. I had 2 uncles that were supervisors in a factory in Newark. So I was able to get a job in Newark at Dry Print Foils. I managed to work there 15 years. And it wasn't because I was such a great employee. It was because the 2 uncles were supervisors. And that kept me there. And I can remember getting the house, hustling at the job, making money, collecting numbers, football, horses, or whatever I could do to make money, I was hustling. Got down payment for a house. The job moved to Rahway, New Jersey. So we got a house in Colonia, New Jersey. Got out of the future mother-in-law's basement, moved to Jersey. Got a house there. And the methadone wasn't enough, so I was drinking a lot. And I used to hate the two words I hated most were last call. Man, I hated last call because the wife been calling all day the bar. Put him on the phone. And I'd say, just tell her I ain't here. Meanwhile, I got a kid now, too. And I'm not caring about the kid or her. I'm just caring about drinking. She says, but I see his car outside. And I said, well, just tell her I left with somebody. I mean, that's how bad I could not stop myself. I could not stop. That's powerless. No matter how bad it was, things got, I couldn't stop. And then the last call, 2 in the morning, I got to go home. And either I got to explain myself, or hope she's asleep, or whatever. Usually I go home, start a fight, to go back out, and blame her. It's never my fault for doing what I do. Never, ever took responsibility. And I'd continue to get ripped. And one night I come home, and I go try and sneak into bed, keep it quiet. I want to go to sleep. And there's nobody next to me. She's had enough. She's done. She took off. We're married about 15 years at the time. She's had enough. I'm so amazed she lasted that long. And she actually left me with the child, which was unbelievable to me. And I would take the child to daycare. I would bring him home, stop at the bar, put him on the bar, and continue to drink. Child. Driving with a child. Luckily, she took the child out of daycare one day, so I didn't have to worry about the kid or her anymore. I could drink. Not that it was going to stop me. I could drink more, it seemed. It was easier to drink longer. And I did. But it was always someone else's fault. So now I'm at work and I'm drinking heavier. And the job says it's going to be a layoff. And I said, I'm good. I got 15 years. There's like 300 employees. I got the two uncles. Everything should be good. And they call me in the office. And they said, Michael, we're sorry, we got to let you go. I'm like, wow, damn. And I'm out of the union. There's no more union for me. I was on salary at the time, went into management. So I had no backup, nothing. And come to find out, it was a one-person layoff, me. That was it. Yeah. They were just being nice. You know, they were probably afraid the way I'd react. I don't know. Because I was pretty whacked out. So I go back home, pour me another shot. Man, I'm worse than ever. Last call, I got to go home alone, man. I ain't got nobody to fight with, man. It's just me. And I don't want to go home. So I'm going to go to my sister, who's dealing drugs out of a deli that she owned in New York. Her and my brother, who just spoke here not long ago. So I go to my sister's, and I'm drinking vodka all day. And I think I did some Valium back then. They didn't have Xanax yet. And doing cocaine, and I'm out. So I'm going to my sister's. She says, yeah, come over. So I end up in a bad, bad wreck in Route 1 and 9 in Delancey Street in Newark. And my face is degloved. It was ripped off. They had to do a tracheotomy on site, on scene. They had the jaws of life there prying me. It took them about 2.5 hours to get me to Newark Trauma Center. Luckily, I was unconscious through the whole thing. Out, thank God. There was one thing I remember from them pulling me out of the car is them screaming at me to pull my leg out. The last part of me that was stuck there was my knee. It was stuck in the car. And once I got it out, they got me to the trauma unit. I had one of them out-of-body experiences, white light experience, whatever you want to call it, while I'm in this coma or whatever. And I got soon-to-be ex-wife and my sister, and each one is holding one of my hands. And I'm up in a bright light like that, out of my body and I'm watching what's going on. And everything is beautiful, peaceful, quiet, amazing. And then I wake up. Shit. Damn, that sucked. Seriously, that sucked. I did not want to be alive. I was so angry that they saved my life. I was just wanting to be gone. So rather than get thrown out the hospital, you know, or get strapped down, I left AMA against medical advice. And where my sister proceeded to bring me whatever I wanted into the hospital. You know, as we think we're helping one another. We really do. You know, I'm going to help you get ripped. That's the way we lived. Exactly how we lived. Unbelievable. So I get out of there and I'm saying I can't do this no more. Something's got to change. This ain't working. So I figure if I just get off this methadone, everything will be all right. So I get in the treatment center. It's supposed to be 28 days. I still have good insurance. And about the 14th day, they stopped giving me meds. And I'm bouncing off the walls, man. I could not sit still, could not sleep. My legs were hurting so bad. Back, my mind was racing and my body couldn't move. And they want me to continue to stay and they don't want to give me no more meds. I said, if you ain't give me no more meds, there ain't no reason to stay. You know, that's what I'm here for, is the detox. So what about these steps? I said, I'm not looking to do no steps, man. Please, just give me some more meds. So AA meeting come in one day and they say, they're alcoholics. So I get up to leave the meeting. They said, where are you going? I said, I'm not an alcoholic. This is a mistake. There's something wrong here. They said, well, just sit and listen. And I sat, but I did not listen. I did not listen to anything that was said. So 14th day, I sign out against medical advice, go straight to the bar across the street. I'm in, where the hell am I? I'm in Amityville, Long Island. I have no clue where I am. And I'm going to get a train back to, I got to Penn Station. The ex-wife picked me up. And I'm going to drink as much as I want, as long as I want. And I could, just not successfully. You know, I could easily drink, but not stop or be successful in any way, shape, or form at it. But I don't know this at the time. I have no clue. I'm in total denial. I don't even think I'm a drug addict. You know, I have no clue. And for the next 6 months, I guess, it got real bad. I got 2 DUIs because I'm pretty much straight alcohol now. And it's worse than ever. Straight alcohol in me is bad. The other shit would calm me down some, but this shit just was bad. And I never knew what was going to happen. So the next time I call the wife, she comes to get me. She's got the kid in the car. I need help, please. By this time, I realize I'm an alcoholic. I'm whatever you want me to be. I'm done, man. I am done. The wife comes with the kid. She's driving. The kid's in the front seat. I'm in the back, hitting the crack pipe all the way to the treatment center. As bad as I want to stop, I can't stop myself. As bad as I want to stop, that's powerless. Cannot stop. I get to the treatment center, I throw the pipe up on the roof, and for 28 days I'm listening. And for 28 days, all I could think about was that crack pipe on the roof. I couldn't get the shit out of my mind. Wouldn't stop. Wouldn't stop. So when they're getting ready to cut me loose, send me home. I said, out this door, I'm going to get ripped. I do not know how to stay sober. I know I'm going to get ripped. I do not know how to live life sober. definitely didn't know how to live a drunk, but I know I can't live it sober. So instead of sending me home, they sent me to Tampa. That's how you all got lucky. They sent me to Tampa. They sent me to Tampa in 89, Turning Point. And Turning Point was great because it could keep me distracted, keep me busy, keep me from thinking too much, and get me connected with AA. I screwed that up. After about 9 months I'm there, I hook up with a girl in there, and they throw me out, which I lied right out the door. I didn't do anything, blah, blah, blah. And they throw me out, and I'm scared to death. I hook up. Thank God I made a lot of connections. Across the street, I stay on somebody's couch. They ain't there. I'm there alone, scared out my mind. I sneak back in the Turning Point after getting thrown out. I'm in the shower, behind the curtain. When they do the bed check, that's how bad I did not want to drink a drug. That's how scared I was. That's how scared I was. And these guys put up with me, and they actually let me work there for a couple of years. That's how interesting it got. And managed to stay sober 12 years. I worked for a few treatment centers, which was great. Used to go to prisons and jails, get people out, put them in treatment, and mostly was drug, alcohol, cocaine moms that were pregnant. And Heinrich and all these judges here would always let them out and let them come with me, you know. And who would have thunk it that I'd be helping somebody else? Because as soon as I was in Turning Point, they said, "You got to do something." I said, "I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I ain't got no uncles here. What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" So they had me volunteer at AMI Town and Country Treatment Center. So that's how I got involved with doing that kind of stuff, which was fantastic. I used to get a rush every time someone was released, as soon as the judge would okay it. I'd never force anybody, you know. I just do like I'm doing now, tell my story. And if they wanted a chance with the judge, I'd call the judge's assistant, I'd put them on the docket, go before the judge and let the judge know that so-and-so wanted help. And 99% of the time, they released the person. They used to let me go to Lowell Prison, and there'd be like 30 women there pregnant. And I'd just tell my story, and afterwards would ask if anybody would like a chance at getting clean and sober, going to a recovering homes, have their child in a clean environment and stay in a clean environment. They didn't have to go back to where they were from. And that was amazing to see that. And I see some of them women from 92. Actually, one of the women chair of Rebo's meeting over there in St. Pete, which is amazing to see. Also in 92, my brother called me from New York when I was here and said he wanted help. And I said, I believe it when you get here. And he got on a plane, and I got him at the airport. He was drunk out his mind. You talk about embarrassing. I can't. You know how many people I must have embarrassed? My God, it was bad. And he gets in my car. He thinks he's coming home with me. I said, "No, you ain't coming home with me." Because by this time, I got a new wife, two little kids, and you ain't coming home with me. And he says, "Well, where are we going?" I said, "Don't worry." I said, "Give me your money." So he says, "What, are you crazy? I ain't giving you my money." So he gave me his money, because I told him he ain't going to need no food money, cigarette money. I'd bring him cigarettes, you know, if he needed anything. So I bring him to par, and he don't know what he's getting into. And he's been pretty much sober since 92. He relapsed one time and managed to stay sober ever since. We were actually here a couple of months ago with a niece who was trying to get this, and supposed to be doing a 90 and 90, she couldn't do 5 and 5, man. It was bad. It was bad. That's sad. I shouldn't laugh, but that was me. And I, you don't know until you know. You know, hopefully somebody hears something here that gives them some hope that they can recover too. Because when I come here, I didn't think I could recover. I really thought I was hopeless by this point. But then I'd hear people's stories like you hear tonight. And I heard some stories about rape, incest, being molested, murder, gay, ain't gay. And these people are staying sober. I'm saying, damn, I got a chance, you know? There's some hope here for me. You know, and the worse you were, the better I felt, because it gave me more of a chance. It really did. It gave me a good chance. So I kept coming back. And after about 12 years, I don't know, I got this bright idea. Let me start cheating on my wife. 12 years sober. That shit didn't work. There was no spiritual connection at all. And I couldn't have a God conscience and a guilty conscience. The shit just didn't mix. Man. It's hard juggling three women. It ain't easy. It's insane. The stories and the lies I would tell. My God. That's why I say, as long as I ain't chasing women or money, I'm good. I swear, the last 4 or 5 years, I ain't had no trouble because I ain't been chasing either one. As soon as I chase women, I start lying. As soon as I start chasing money, I start lying. It's like inevitable. I start coming up with these exaggerated figures, you know, about myself too, you know. I like to embellish, you know. I don't want to say it's straight out lie, but that's what it is, straight out lie, especially when you know it. That sucks. So today, I try not to do that. I try to be as honest as I can be. And sometimes rigorous honesty scares people. It really does, you know. But it works. This really does. It really works. It's an amazing program. I got to help a guy in for years. He was homeless. Came from a rich family, too, and he was homeless. Young kid. He ended up in jail. I visited him while I was in working treatment center. I put some money in his canteen. When I relapsed after the 12 years, I never seen the kid again. 8 years later, as I'm stoned, I didn't drink. I was afraid to drink, but I did a whole lot of drugs. I was deathly afraid to drink. And this guy calls me, and I'm stoned. And he's 8 years later. I said, wow, how you doing? He says, I'm doing great. He's been sober 10 years. I'm like, whoa, that's awesome. Do I need some help? The last thing I want you to know is I need help. He says, Michael, I know people tell me what's going on because I was pretty connected. He says, let me take you to treatment. I said, I ain't got no money for treatment. He says, I'll put up the money. He fronts the money for me to go to treatment in Delray. He says, you don't have to pay me back. He says, are you crazy? If I had the money, I ain't putting it up. And he fronts this $4,000 he fronts for me. Oh my God. So September 09, he comes to get me. He drives here from Delray, puts me in the treatment center in Delray, and I've been sober since.